I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the Our Father. It's recorded both by Matthew in chapter 6 and by Luke in chapter 11, I think it is, of Luke. And it's really, it was really given as a model for a prayer. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray." And then Jesus gave that prayer as a model. But there are other prayers in the Bible where Jesus is actually praying. He probably follows that model if you would look at it closely enough. But there's other prayers by Jesus. And we're going to look at one of those. We actually, about 2 weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of this prayer. It's in John chapter 17. And last 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 1 through 11. And I want to go back to this prayer from Jesus, or of Jesus. And we're going to look today at verses, the last part of verse 11 through verse 19. So I'm going to have it up on the screen in the New Living Translation if you want to follow it here. There's also a New Living Translation possibly in your in the pew rack there if you want to follow it that way. If you want to follow it in your own Bibles, that's as good as well. But this is the New Living Translation of John chapter 17, starting with the second part of verse 11. Remember, Jesus is praying, and he says, "Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them." Who is he talking about? He's talking about his disciples and including us, not just his disciples at that time, but all who would believe in him through those disciples. So it includes us. "Now protect them, us, by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that no one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth." Jesus prays for us. He prays for our protection. I heard a story this week about a pastor who went to a small Kentucky town. He was going to be doing a series of messages, revival services in this small town. And the first night, as he was ready to do his first sermon, he had some concern because he noticed that all of the men had guns. And so he did his best, you know, under the circumstances and under the anxiety that he was feeling to get through his sermon that night. And after the sermon was finished, his anxiety heightened even more because he noticed that at the end of the sermon, all the guys with their guns had their guns drawn and were coming towards the pulpit. And he turned to the deacon who was next to him, but the deacon calmed his fears when the deacon said to him, "Don't worry, preacher. They ain't coming after you. They're coming after the cuss that invited you to come and preach." Well, I don't know if anyone has any guns here today, and I'm not really concerned about anyone rushing towards me with drawn guns. But this can be a scary world, this world that we live in. And I don't know where you turn to protection in times of danger. Maybe you turn to your faith. Maybe you turn to your martial arts skills. Maybe you think of turning to your finances. Maybe you have a silver tongue. You've been given the gift, you know, and you rely on your silver tongue. Or maybe you even depend on weapons. But in today's scripture, Jesus prays for our protection. Jesus prays for us. That's pretty incredible when you think about that, isn't it? Jesus prays for us. Right now, Jesus is praying for you and for me. That alone is probably all the encouragement and comfort we need. You know, we could just say a closing prayer and just go home, couldn't we? Jesus prays for us. And if anyone is going to have their prayers answered, you would think it's going to be Jesus, right? If anyone is praying according to God's will, it's got to be Jesus. And so if you happen to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's great encouragement for you here today. There's great comfort for you today. There's great hope for you here today because Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for us. In today's scripture, he's praying for our protection. Now, that word protection in the Greek language means that Jesus is praying that the Father would watch over us, would guard over us, would watch over us as his followers. And he prays not only for our protection, but he tells us how we're protected in these verses. So I want to look at this today. And the first thing that he prays for, he prays for our Holy Father to protect us from, or protect us for, our unity and our joy. In the first part of verse 11, he says, "Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are," just as he and the Father are. And you'll notice here that Jesus addresses the Father as Holy Father. Now, in other places, he addresses him as Father. We just talked about the Lord's Prayer where he says, "Our Father." But here he adds the word Holy before Father. It's the only place in the Gospel of John that Jesus addresses his Father in this way, as Holy Father. So there's some significance to that because he's emphasizing the significance of being protected by the power of the name. Because whereas Father helps us to know how much God loves us, that we have this personal relationship with God, he's Father. Holy tells us that he is the Almighty God and that there's power in his name, and that's why he can protect us. He protects us because he's the Almighty God. He protects us because he's Holy or loving Father. And so, as it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe." There is power in the name. This prayer expresses the confidence that the confidence in God's ability to protect his children. And at the same time, this prayer is telling us how we are protected. Because in this context, what he's talking about is a relationship between his followers and himself. That's where that protection comes from, that relationship. In other words, the Holy Father uses his power, the power of his name, to connect us to himself. And so he's saying, not only are you connected because I'm the Almighty God and there's power in my name, not only are you protected because of that, but you're protected because you have this intimate relationship with me. That's our ultimate protection. And because we're connected to God, because we're united with him, that means, since we're all united the same way with him, right? That means that we're all united with each other. Jesus prays about that. When we love God, we obey God. One of the ways that we obey God is to love one another as he has loved us. And when we obey him because we love him, he'll give us his Spirit. And when we have his Spirit, we're going to be connected. We're going to be connected to him. We're going to be connected to each other. And we're going to have power to accomplish the mission that he has given us. which is telling the world the good news of salvation in Christ. That's the message that we have. And we're united with each other by His Spirit and by that mission. Jesus prays that we would be united. He prays that we would be united following the pattern of His, the way that the Godhead is united. Within the Godhead, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they're one. There's a uniting there. He says in the same way He wants us to be united with each other. United in our desire, united in our love for one another, united in our purpose of glorifying God and of serving God. When we're united that way, we're powerful. When we are united with God and with each other, we are powerful. When we're not, we're weak. And whether that's in the church, whether that's in your marriage, whether it's in any other relationship, when there is a uniting with God and with each other because of God, is powerful. Very, very powerful. Choose to stay under the protection of this Holy Father. Look at verse 12. Jesus continues His prayer. He says, "During my time here on earth, I protected them by the power of that name, the name that You gave Me, and I guarded them so that not one of them was lost except for the one headed for destruction, as the Scriptures foretold." Now here, of course, He's referring to Judas Iscariot, who chose to betray Jesus. You have to understand that. Judas chose to betray Jesus. Sadly, he chose to come out from that protection that he had under Christ. He cut that unity, not only between himself and Christ, but between himself and the other disciples. Jesus did not, don't make the mistake of thinking that Jesus intentionally withhold protection from Judas so that he could be tempted by Satan, so that the betrayal could happen. Don't make the mistake of thinking that. Don't make the mistake of thinking that Satan's temptation was somehow stronger than Jesus' ability to keep Judas protected. Judas had a free will, and Judas made that decision to betray Jesus, and in so doing, removed himself from the protection under Christ. And that place of Judas, of being called a disciple and yet choosing to betray, shows us the balance between God's sovereignty and our free will. God loves us. The protection that He extends to us every single day is beyond our comprehension. But we have a free will, and we can choose to reject God if we choose so. God loves us, He created us, and He created us with enough freedom that we could choose to have a relationship with Him or choose not to have a relationship with Him. It's our choice. May we always choose to be faithful to Christ. Why? Well, because that's where our protection is, because that's what keeps us united. But there's another reason why He tells us He wants us to have this connection, to stay under this protection. It's in verse 13. It says, "Now I am coming to you." He's talking to the Father. "Now I'm coming back to you, rejoining you. And I told my followers many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with joy." Jesus says, "Stay under my protection, so that you might be filled with joy." Not joy based on circumstances, but joy based on that relationship with Him, that connection with Him. That's joy no matter what's going on, because we know He is with us. The disciples discovered, especially after the resurrection, that Jesus had defeated death, He had defeated Satan, He had given us eternal life. And then He gave us the gift of His Spirit to be with us forever, our comforter, our advocate, our friend who comes alongside to help us and is always with us. His presence is always with us. Immeasurable joy is living in that kind of intimate relationship with Christ, who is the source of all joy. And when we experience God's protection, we'll see victory, even when it doesn't seem like there's going to be victory. And so Jesus prays that we would be protected in our unity and in our joy. Second thing that Jesus prays for he says, he prays to the Holy Father for our protection from the world and from Satan. It's in verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Jesus is leaving the world, going back to the Father, rejoining the Father, and he's leaving his disciples behind. They're going to stay behind to carry out the continued mission of Christ, the purpose and plan of God, to spread this good news about Jesus to the whole world. Such a mission is going to obviously arouse great hostility in the world, especially by the evil one, the devil or Satan. And so the disciples need protection because of that. Now notice that he says the world hates you because you do not belong to the world. The world hates you because you do not belong to the world. This is not our home, folks. We're just kind of passing through. We are not members of Satan's kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God. Now, the world follows Satan's agenda. We are a part of the kingdom of God. We follow God's agenda. There's a difference, there ought to be a difference, in the followers of Jesus Christ. Our values are different from the world. Our character needs to be different from the world. Our behavior needs to be different from the world. But when we do that, it causes hatred with the world. I don't know what it is. Maybe we just kind of show them how they're supposed to be living, and maybe they don't like that. Maybe it's just because, you know, they just want to follow the ways of the leader of this world, because they're part of that world that we're not a part of. So how are we going to be protected from not going to the values of the world, but staying where in the values of God? Jesus tells us how. He says it's by His Word. By His Word. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But let me say this also, that there's two things that Jesus could have done to protect us from the world. It's in verse 15. He says, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. That's one way He could have protected us, right? Just take us out of the world. But if He took us out of the world, how are we going to be witnesses in the world? So He couldn't do that. So instead He does this. Keep them safe from the evil one. Keep them safe from the evil one. So rather than pray that God removes us, He prays that we'll be protected through the difficulties that we face in this world. And we'll be kept safe from falling into the temptations of the devil. Jesus prayed, deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. Again, look at verse 16. They do not belong to the world any more than I do. Since Jesus belonged to the kingdom of God, he's the son of God. So he belongs to the kingdom of it's the kingdom of God's son. And so He doesn't follow the ways of the world, and so neither should we. If we're part of that kingdom as well, then neither should we. Which leads us to the third thing that Jesus prays for in this section here, in this section of the prayer. Jesus prays that our Holy Father's protection for the mission by making us holy. He prays for the mission of telling others about Christ by making us holy. In verse 17, he says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. There was a recently released study by a Christian resource organization that shows that most churchgoers do not read their Bible or study the Bible on a daily basis. Now, by regular churchgoers, they were talking about people who come to church at least once a month. That's how they defined regular churchgoers. They come to church at least once a month. And among them, among that group, only 19% said that they read the Bible or study the Bible outside of church every day. That means that over 80% are not reading the Bible or studying their Bible every day. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning to prove if this finding is correct, but I want to read a quote from Scott McConnell. He's director of this LifeWay research, and he made a statement that he thinks that part of the reason for the way this research came out is attributed to the modern American culture and how that influenced the responses on this survey. So let me read this quote, a little lengthy, but let me read this quote from Scott McConnell. He says, regular Bible engagement is both personal and requires discipline. Neither are popular in Western culture today. Too many churchgoers want the benefits of salvation without investing in personally knowing Christ and the abundant life that he offers. Bible engagement encompasses more than just Bible reading. It measures the extent to which individuals interact with the truth of Scripture, allowing it to permeate their thinking and influence their actions. There is a widespread desire among churchgoers to please Jesus, but much less interested in daily wrestling with what pleases Jesus. Jesus says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, because your word is truth. Jesus is trying to tell us how vital it is for us to be in his word on a regular basis. Scripture keeps us connected with God. It's the way that God speaks to us and meets with us. The word is a way that God uses to point out our sin, to point out our weaknesses, motivates us to confess. It renews our relationship with Christ. It guides us back to the right path. It is so important. God speaks to us through his word. He meets with us through his word. It is so important for you to be in the truth, God's word, on a regular basis. We are made holy by that truth. Holy means that we are set apart for God. God wants to set us apart for his own use, as holy vessels for his use. And we need to be set apart so that we can continue this message, this mission, this purpose of God. Verse 18 says, just as you sent me, Jesus is praying, just as you sent me into the world, Father, now I'm going to send them into the world. He's sending us into a world that hates us, into a world in which the prince of this world wants to destroy us. That's why he's praying for our protection, that we might be holy vessels. Stay in my word, know my truth, stay connected to me, stay connected with one another, that you might be under my protection so that you can go into the world and spread this world, this word, so that other people can become my followers. Imagine that. People who hate you, who hate me, you're going to make them my followers when they see me working through you. Jesus prays, not that we're taking out of the world, but that we have relationships with people in the world, that we love them, that we get to know them, even though that they're non-followers, that they might be invited to become followers. And we are made holy. We are set apart by that connection with him. Verse 19 says, and I give myself, Jesus praying, I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them. I've given myself for them So that, here's the reason why, so that they could be made holy by your truth. Jesus gave himself to the will of the Father. And the final act of dedication to the Father was his sacrifice on the cross, was Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And his purpose was to make us holy. He died so that we could be set apart for God and God's purposes. Jesus prayed to a loving God, to an almighty God, who has the power to protect us, that we would remain in him, that we would choose to be in a personal relationship with him always, to stay in him, remain in him, that we could stay under his protection, and to do that through the truth of his word. He prays that we would be protected from sin, from the devil, from the world, that we would become holy people, holy vessels. He prayed that through that holy vessel, he would bring his message of love to the world, of salvation through Christ. He prayed that we would be united, and that as we were united, and as we were staying connected to him, and as we were bringing his message out to the world, our joy would be full. We'd have immeasurable joy. So, what do we need to do? We need to remain in Christ. We need to cultivate this relationship with God. We need to regularly stay in time. You need to have time with God every day. You need to have time with God. You need to be alone with God in a time of reading the Word, in a time of prayer, and just a time of silence. You need to have time with God every day, hopefully more than once a day. It doesn't have to be for hours. It could just be for a few minutes, but you need to spend time with God and stay connected with him to be protected in this world. Cultivate that relationship. Stay in his word. Stay united with other believers that we might encourage one another and pray for one another and help one another and love one another. Don't take our assembly lightly. Resist the devil. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. But renew your thinking about how things should be by reading God's word and seeing God's truth and how he wants you to live. Be open to let God work through you, to be his vessel, and let him love people through you, inviting them to be his followers. If you take a look in your bulletin this morning, there's a sheet on one side that had a place for you to take notes. Of course, you've been taking notes all this time, right? On the back side of this, I have just an exercise that you could do one day this week, when today, whenever you have the time. It just has a scripture to read that I think would also kind of go along with what we talked about today. There's a place for you to, as you meditate on that scripture, a place for you to write down a few of your own thoughts. And then on the bottom, I gave you a prayer that you could pray. And I encourage you to just look at this and use it sometime this week. To just kind of connect with the Lord. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are humbled. And we are full of amazement and incredible joy because we know that you are praying for us, praying for our protection, praying that God would watch over us for the purpose of being your vessels, sharing your message. Lord, we want to stay under that protection. We want to do the things that will keep us connected to you, that we might remain in you, that you might remain in us, that we might be fruitful in spreading, in the mission of spreading this message. Continue to hold us up before the Father. Continue to be our help by your Spirit. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, O Lord, that we would stay strong as we stay in your word, that we would choose to stay under that protection. Hating the world, resisting the enemy, being in fellowship with one another and with you. Let me just give you an opportunity to pray your own prayer, just a silent prayer. Just spend a few moments alone and silently with the Lord, and then I'll just close the time of prayer and pray a blessing upon you and dismiss you. So just have a few moments with the Lord in silence, and then I'll close. Yeah, sure. Before I close in prayer, someone requested that we just have a word of prayer with Virginia this morning. I hope that's okay with you, Virginia. Pastor Nick, I'm going to ask you, please, if you would come and just stand behind her too, and we're going to just say a prayer for Virginia and for Joe. Almighty God, we just want to thank you for Virginia and for Joe, the love that we have received from them, fellowship that we have with them, just the opportunity to know them. Lord, I see so much and learn so much through them. Lord, I thank you for the faith that makes my faith stronger, that I see in them. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to stand by them and be with them through all that they face. We know, Lord, that Virginia is facing some new radiation treatments. We'll find out more about that tomorrow, perhaps. And Lord, we just ask, God, that your hand would be upon her, that your hand would be upon Joe. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bring comfort to them, you would bring strength to them, you would bring healing to them by the power of your name. Take away all tiredness. And take away all discomfort, Lord. Give them, Lord, just a sense of your presence and a sense of your peace. I thank you, Lord, for your love for them. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pray for them and to express our love to them as well. And now, Lord, we pray for this congregation, O God. Those who are here today, those who couldn't be here today. Holy Father, I pray your protection. I pray that you would watch over them, O God. I pray that you would keep them united with you and with each other. I pray, God, that you would help them to stay connected with you, O God, and that you would give them great joy. I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that they would choose, Lord, to be in your Word, to learn from your Word, and to live in that Word, that, Lord, they might be your vessels, that we might be a church that's carrying out the mission of letting others know that there's a God who loves them, that there is a Jesus who died for them, and that by believing in him, you can have eternal life. Lord, I pray that many would be invited to become your followers, and that, Lord, we would rejoice because you're working through us, and that we'll rejoice in the work that you do. Lord, I pray your blessing upon us as we're dismissed from this place. We know that we're never dismissed from your presence. We go and we walk with you. Bless this week. May we be a blessing to you and to others in this week. And Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.